Welcome to the TechCast. I'm producer Becca Refford. The TechCast is sponsored by Chariot Solutions, a full-stack application development consultancy committed to building high-quality software solutions. With expertise in Java 8, Scala, Clojure, Spring, iOS, Android, AngularJS, and other open-source technologies, we can bring the right blend of expertise and technology to bear for your organization. Visit us on the web at chariotsolutions.com. Chariot Solutions offers consulting, mentoring, and training in open source languages, platforms, and frameworks, such as JavaScript language fundamentals, testing, and build tools, Angular 1 and Angular 2, Scala, and Akka. We're offering a special for our podcast listeners on the first Angular 2 course we have to offer. Join us for the first beta of our Angular 2 training class on May 24th to 26th and save $100 on your ticket with the discount code of TechCast, all one word, lowercase.
Okay, so we're back with another ETE podcast. This one is going to be Adrian Moore's. Adrian works on the compiler, right? Is that his big thing?
Yeah, he's the Scala compiler team lead. And on Twitter, his profile says the compiler whisperer.
So he's been pretty busy, I guess, with all the stuff that's going on with Java 8, right?
Yeah, he's been working fully focused on Scala 2.12, of which the fourth milestone just got released last week. Mm-hmm. So yay. He's been fully focused on Scala 2.12 and Java 8 and the compatibility between the two and having Scala 2.12 emit Java 8 compatible bytecode around lambdas and future, which in Java is completion stage, that kind of stuff. So it's really cool stuff.
Yeah. So we had a nice podcast with him talking about the aspects of writing the compiler changes and all that. So enjoy our talk with Adrian Moore's.
Sujong Padia from Cherry Solutions. Today we're speaking with Adrian Moore's. How are you, Adrian? How
are
you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Great. No, thank you so much. We're really excited to have you guys here and having all the Scala representation from the ecosystem at ETE is awesome. And we're excited to be talking to the self-proclaimed compiler whisperer. It's truly a gift. I hope I get to attain that gift someday because I'll be rich if I become a compiler whisperer.
Well, I don't know if that's guaranteed and I haven't seen any of that yet, but a decade of whispering later. Yeah. A lot of fun.
So recently you tweeted, maybe it was last year, I'm not sure. Great code speaks plainly to its next reader, using no more complexity than needed now. Mm-hmm. Find joy in simplicity, not cleverness.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't agree with you more, and we feel like that's something the Scala community in particular really needs to hear, and a lot of people out there. And I think people are scared away from Scala because that's not how a lot of people present Scala at times. And is that one of your goals going forward with, 2.12 and the Scala Center and things in general to try to do more of that and espouse that and get people to sort of latch onto that aspect of Scala and not maybe some of the other stuff?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of when I joined the dark side at then TypeSafe, now Lightbend from academia, that was the shift in thinking that was behind that too. I mean, I'm very passionate about language research, but I think we have a good set of features in Scala, and what I've been thinking about most in the last 4 years is how can we present a good subset of those features? How can we build a culture around this, the ecosystem, the folklore of, which parts to avoid. There's always going to be parts that, aren't right for you at a certain time or for a certain project. It's a matter of learning which parts to use and sharing with each other what didn't work, what does work. We're eager to get that feedback and, deprecate where necessary, remove things, or just tell you what not to do. I mean, because, not all features, like I said, are right for everybody. Mm-hmm. But I think, people sometimes look at Scala as very complicated and as having too many features at the same time. I think part of that is kind of a problem of presentation.
Right, like, right.
I think when you drill down, it's a really nice uniform set of ideas and concepts that then kind of integrate with each other and multiply into different features. And it takes time to scratch that surface and to see how it all hangs together. And that's our job, ultimately. And if people have a hard time figuring that out, that's our failing of explaining that well.
Yeah. Awesome. What features are you most excited about in Scala 2.12?
Well, so I think Java 8 is the easy one to start with, sure, because that's what we've been talking about. But I'm equally excited about actually what we're doing outside of the compiler, for example, with SBT, improving the incremental compiler. So Jagosh is still working on that, and we have some more good speed ups coming in SBT 1.0.
1.0, wow. Okay.
Yeah, awesome. Finally, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be great too. And yeah, so the optimizer in the back end, that's finally coming together. Lucas has done a ton of work making that production ready, making it really testable, making it really something that we can recommend without reservation for everybody to use, which wasn't always the case with the old optimizer. But so to get back to Java 8, popping our stack back up to that, Scala has always, started out as a JVM language, and a lot of our success is thanks to running on that platform. And so one of our mantras has always been to do the same thing as Java, at least in bytecode, where we can. And I think with the new bytecode available to us, the new features and the platform, we're very excited to use those. Okay. So both for the trait encoding, where now we can encode a trait directly as a Java interface. As I said during my talk, there's still a lot of magic going on.
Right.
Once you implement a trait in a class, the compiler does a lot of the legwork for you.
Mm-hmm.
But it's gotten a lot simpler, so that's great for us as compiler implementers. Well, it was actually one of the trickiest parts of the compiler. But I think also from a user's perspective, when you have to think about evolution of your APIs, of binary compatibility and so
right.
on, that has simplified somewhat, and we have a somewhat better story.
Okay.
We still have ideas of how to improve that later, but I think we're already at a much better point when it comes to that in terms of what traits compile to. And then for functions, it's the same story. So we used to have to generate a lot of boilerplate, a lot of classes that need to be loaded to represent your functions. And so that's gone now with Invoke Dynamic, and we use the Java infrastructure, the same Java infrastructure that the Java compiler uses, Lambda Metafactory, to spin up those classes. And I call them classes for convenience. I guess they aren't really anymore. They're much more lightweight. So I can't really speak to what's coming in the JVM,
sure.
but I imagine we're at the beginning of a path of better performance for functions and better insight for the JIT and so on, the profilers there, to understand what's going on in functional code that
awesome.
They couldn't do before.
Has there been any sort of benchmarks around this? Are you seeing switching to completion stage and things
mm-hmm.
like the performance improvements?
So right now I've mostly focused on just getting M4 out and looking at the bytecode size mm-hmm. reduction. They've been pretty significant. We're just now kind of rebooting the ecosystem and compiling everything so that we can do real benchmarks.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we can talk about that in a couple of weeks, the end of the month or something like
awesome.
That. I think we'll have some real numbers. Yeah.
Cool. Very cool. So it sounds like that's pretty much been most of your focus is, targeting Java 8.
For me, yeah. So the team has definitely, we all have our own kind of sub-project within the project.
Right.
And so Jason and I have been focusing on the trait and function encodings.
Okay.
Lucas owns the back end. And so the newest people that joined the team, Stefan and Seth, have been working on everything else, basically,
okay.
which is, it's harder to summarize, but it's been
sure.
a lot of work for them, too, and it's great to have them on the team.
Awesome. I recently reread your Bitrot paper, yours and Martin's.
Oh, yeah.
To me, it's a classic paper. And
thanks.
I wish I'd read it earlier, just because I actually think for a lot of people that don't understand Scala collections or, implicits and type classes, that's actually a great introduction to that and a great application of it. And it's like, when I read that paper the first time, all that stuff then made way more sense to me than just learning it abstractly. It's like,
right.
oh, okay, this makes a lot of sense. Or
yeah.
using it to, build collections, stuff like that. So, with 2.11, 2.12 and stuff, how are you continuing to tackle bit rot and stuff like that in the Scala ecosystem and the language?
That's a great question. And kind of along with the move from academia to the company, I think I've been looking at this more from a manager's perspective
okay.
or not in any pejorative terms, but
mm-hmm.
More as in, what can we do at the organizational level? What can we do at, just removing stuff from the library
right.
and teaching people about the parts that they shouldn't be using? And I think that's something that we hadn't done enough in the past. So we've really been focusing more on education, I think. And we need to do more of that. There's still a lot to talk about, I think.
Okay. So that's an interesting angle. It's more of fighting bit rot on the people side of the equation.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the way you code has a real impact on which bits are going to rot and which
right.
which ones aren't. And I think ultimately, as engineers, we naturally look for technical solutions to a lot of our problems, but not all of them are solvable purely technically. It's a social problem. It's an organizational problem,
mm-hmm.
and the language you use, of course, guides you on a certain path on how you're going to structure your software. So in that sense, I think we're pretty well equipped in Scala with the right abstractions and so on to help you design, you know, maintainable software. But ultimately, you know, it is still a craft, and it is something that we need to, you know, talk about and learn from each other how to do that.
That's great. That's a fantastic answer. I mean, I'm glad our listeners out there get to hear that, because there's definitely a lot of people. Yeah, I'm giving a intro to Scala workshop at Philly Tech Week next month, and the title is like, you know, Scala, you know, fear no more, because so many people get into Scala, like they'll read a blog article and it'll be like very Haskellish or something and very abstract, and they kind of just get scared and run away from it. But I'm like, there's so many nice things about Scala. Yeah. There's so many things that are actually not that hard to grasp if you just give it a little bit of time. But yeah, I think it's just like you were saying earlier, and it's the way it's presented that scares certain people. So I'm glad to hear you guys especially saying this stuff. And I felt like that was a theme yesterday as well between your talk and Heather and James Roper, and like trying to simplify things.
Yeah. So I think it's a natural cycle. I mean, and for me personally, I mean, I started using Scala as a grad student because I looked at Haskell and I was like, well, there's no subtyping in there and no classes. And, you know, I was raised, let's say, a Java programmer.
Sure.
And I like a lot of OO. I think a lot of the ideas in there are great. And so when I was doing my research back then on data type generic programming, which is kind of, you know, writing your traversals once, you know, abstracting over the structure of your data structure, it turned out that we didn't have higher kind of types in Scala, and that's how I got involved in Scala development. Right. And so a lot of pretty complicated stuff that I think is still great to have in the language, but I regret that it gives us that image of, you know, you have to understand category theory or something like that. Sure. I mean, my advisor in grad school told me, like, I was welcome to waste as much time as I wanted on category theory. So I never did.
Oh, man.
And he had, like, his PhD was on category theory. So don't get me wrong. I mean,
I'm quoting you on that.
I'll give you his name so you can quote him instead. But yeah, no, I mean, it's, and of course, it's tongue in cheek a little bit. And I think, you know, math is a great tool to shape your thinking, you know, both in daily life and in programming. I mean, it's a very valuable, you know, set of abstractions.
Yeah.
But as always with abstractions, you shouldn't take them too far. And you shouldn't just abstract because you can, or, you know, because they're out there or whatever. That's not the right reason. I mean, as soon as you've written code twice or three times, then you should start thinking about how do I, you know, what's similar between these pieces of code, and how do I convey some kind of structure with my abstractions? How do I, you know, enforce some kind of invariant? How do I, you know, codify what I learned writing this thing three times, and now, you know, write it only once and just factor out all the similarities? Yeah, so I think that's kind of the cycle that I've personally gone through with Scala. Like, first that excitement of, you know, like pushing the type system to its limits and seeing, you know, as a student how far you can push this. And that's a great way to learn the language if that's your thing. But that's not at all a requirement, and that's not the image that I want personally for the language. And because it lets you do that, it attracts a lot of people that have, you know, this interest that and can't really do that in many other languages, or could, but, you know, then they miss other parts of the ecosystem.
Sure.
And so that's a very active part of the community, and it's easy to kind of think that that's like a big part of the community, and I think they're a very important part of the community, but we shouldn't forget about the huge number of users that are using Scala simply because it makes them more productive. And like my advisor, they wouldn't want to waste any time on category theory. And again, it's not a waste of time to a lot of people, but it's not a prerequisite, I guess.
Right.
I'll summarize it.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. I guess to switch gears a little bit, the final question, could you talk a little bit about Dottie and like what are some of the, I guess, goals and objectives behind that?
Yeah, I'm surprised you didn't start with that. Usually that's the first question I get.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's great to have to be thinking about, you know, what's next in the longer term, right? And that's important to keep any project alive. And we're constantly looking at what the team is doing. And for example, the trade encoding that we have now in 2.12, part of that was prototyped, let's say, in Dottie. They did it first, and we certainly looked at what they're doing to make sure that we're compatible, ultimately with the way that we hope, you know, we'll adopt the technology that's now being incubated at the Dottie project. I think we're still working towards agreement on how we want to evolve the language. I'm more in the camp of you know, let's tinker and be incremental and you know, small steps. And I'm looking forward to adopting some of the patterns to implement the compiler differently and more, you know, more efficiently, perhaps. I mean, if it shows that it is more efficient, I'd be all for implementing some of those ideas.
Okay.
But I don't see as the next step for Scala to somehow ditch the last 5 years of stability that we've been working on really hard and that people are counting on for you know, more beautiful foundations. As much as that appeals to me as an academic,
sure,
I don't think that's what the language needs right now. Okay. So they're coming, but we will bring them to you in a form that fits the, you know, the cadence and the robustness that we've been working on in Scala for a long time.
Like, they're also, I guess, are they overhauling or rewriting collection framework in Dottie? Or
so that's part of the I guess the thinking that goes on, you know, how can we do this more simply? Mm-hmm. How can we do this in the new framework that Dottie has? Which, I mean, largely, you know, the ideas are the same.
Mm-hmm.
The thinking has shifted a little bit more towards the object oriented style with type members also at the type level. So type parameters are still supported on the surface of the language, but underneath, it's all type members.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that gives you a slightly different take on how to design type-level abstractions, such as there are in the collections.
Okay.
And so it's natural to kind of explore what those slight differences in the way that the language is designed internally, you know, give you, and it's great to think about how we can use that to simplify the collections.
Awesome. Well, we really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Pleasure.
For your talk and coming to ET. And, you know, I think all the Scala representation this time around is just amazing. And, you know, really looking forward. I guess we're going to be at Scala Days next month. So
yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it was a pleasure to be here. Thanks for putting all this together.
Thank you.
Check out our website for more content over the coming months. We'll announce it via our Twitter handle, @ChariotSolution. But if you want to browse, you can hit chariotsolutions.com/techcast for all of our podcasts, chariotsolutions.com/blog for our blog page, and chariotsolutions.com/screencast for all of our ETE podcasts. InfoQ is also hosting a page at infoq.com/ETE. Sujan Kapadia, technology architect at Chariot Solutions, will be speaking about Scala at two upcoming events. On April 27th, he'll be speaking at the Reactive New York City meetup in New York City. His talk is titled, "Don't Block on It, Migrate Your Codebase Before It's Too Late." On May 4th, he'll be at Philly Tech Week conducting a 3-hour Intro to Scala workshop entitled, "Intro to Scala, Fear No More." If you're up in New York City and interested in learning more about Chariot Solutions, reach out to Sujan at skapadia@chariotsolutions.com or on Twitter @SujanKapadia. That's SujanKapadia. Thanks again for listening to the TechCast, hosted by Ken Rimple, who is @KRimple on Twitter, and Becca Refford, who is @BexRefford. Thanks for listening.